Hello, and welcome to the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas, and this is the show where each week I read a chapter from a different indie author. Thanks for joining me for today's reading. Hi everyone, welcome to episode number 37 of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. As always, I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas. Thanks for being here with me today, this fine Saturday, at the end of November in 2017. Best of luck to everyone hoping to finish up their NaNoWriMo projects this week. I myself did not register for NaNoWriMo, but I have quite a bit of writing to do over the next few days, so I empathize with you. Feeling a little under the weather today. I picked an interesting year to start a podcast because I tell you what, I've just had allergies left and right. But bear with me, I think the readings went pretty well. And on to that, today I'm going to be reading from indie author Ricky White and, drumroll please, Rick Pine. And they are one and the same. And he has given me permission to not let that be a secret. Ricky White is a published indie author of non-fiction, and I'm going to be reading from his non-fiction title today. That is Taking Charge, Making Your Healthcare Appointments Work for You by Ricky White. But then, in addition to that, I'm also going to read The Work in Progress Prologue by Rick Pine, which is Ricky White's fiction author alter ego that is kind of up and coming, is my understanding. I think the book is not published yet. It's coming. And so get excited if you enjoy dystopian, post-apocalyptic, or the mafia, because they're all wrapped up into the story. And you're going to hear some teasing of that in this prologue. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'll begin, as I always do, by reading the Amazon author bio. This is Ricky White's nonfiction Amazon author bio. Ricky White is an author based in Virginia, USA. Originally born in Leicester, England, Ricky qualified as a registered adult nurse in February 2006. Later, he went on to earn his postgraduate degree in professional nursing practice. He worked in a variety of hospitals during his career before he was diagnosed with the chronic degenerative disease, ankylosing spondylitis. Ricky now works as a patient advocate for those with ankylosing spondylitis, helping to raise much-needed awareness for his degenerative autoimmune disease. Because of his unique position in experiencing both sides of the desk, having seen patients in his role as a preoperative assessment clinic nurse, as well as being a patient himself, Ricky decided to write his debut book, Taking Charge, Making Your Healthcare Appointments Work for You. With the information in this book, Ricky arms other chronic illness sufferers with the tools they need to get the most of their appointments and to get the care they deserve. In October 2014, Ricky became a British expatriate when he moved to Virginia with his wife and children. At this point, Ricky sought to continue his propensity for overworked, underpaid, and underappreciated work by becoming a stay-at-home dad, and he wouldn't have it any other way. When he is not chasing two under-5-year-olds, he is usually writing, coding, or in the dojo practicing Shaolin Kempo. He also has a mild, moderate addiction to bonsai trees, of which he has a modest collection. Ricky can be tracked down between diaper changes via his website, http://www.rickywhite.net. All right. And I believe, and if this is incorrect, Rick, let me know, and I'll put up a link in the show notes, but I believe Rick does not yet have an Amazon author bio set up for his fiction. So we're not going to worry about that today. Good. So I first encountered Ricky, I'm actually having trouble remembering if it was first on Twitter or if it was first on Kboards. It's possible that it was in the class of 2017 Kboards thread. I'd have to go look that up now. By the way, quick plug, if you're an indie author who just started publishing in 2017, hop over to Kboards, look up class of 2017, and say hello. Yeah. But either way, I tend to chat most with Rick on Twitter these days. Twitter, you know, it's a funny thing. I hear different indie authors talk about the viability of different social media platforms for advertising in a way that, I don't know. See, Facebook ads and Amazon ads make sense to me because you're buying advertising, right? And to some degree, connecting with fans through like a Facebook group makes sense to me. Pages, not so much because Facebook buries them. But the idea of just joining a social media network for no reason other than to find readers has never made a lot of sense to me. And I'll tell you why really quick. Huge tangent. Sorry, Rick. I've been pondering this for a few months now. Social media is about social media. It's not about advertising. For example, Benjamin Douglas is not actually my full name. It is my name, but it's sort of part of my name, and it's a pseudonym. And on Facebook, I'm not under that name, because I've been on Facebook for much longer than I've been an indie writer, like over a decade. And I have friends who don't even know that I'm a writer. And on Twitter, I've made my Twitter account just for writing, but the people I've mostly connected to are other authors, not fans, which I think is really cool. I think it's awesome to network with other authors. So anyway, there's my little chip on my shoulder about social media for fans. But long story short, it's through this networking on Twitter that I interact with Rick and a number of other authors sort of in our cohort. Rick's cool guy. He's always got something interesting to say, something funny to say, a good quip. So if nothing else, if you're looking for fun people to follow on Twitter, you should look up Rick Pine, as he goes on Twitter. And I'll leave a link to that in the show notes as well, just to harass you, Rick, and your Twitter profile. Oh, goodness. But anyway, what you're going to hear today from me is a reading of the first chapter from his nonfiction title, Taking Charge, and that's under Ricky White. And then you're going to hear this prologue from Rick Pine's fiction title, Fighting to Survive, The Casey Russo Chronicles, Book 1. And this, Rick showed me a couple drafts of his cover, and it's cool looking. Like, there's definitely a post-apocalyptic vibe, pardon me, and a mafia vibe. It kind of looks like if there were like a mystery set in a like post-apoc world. So it's really interesting, and a bit of the premise, which you're going to get from the prologue anyway, is that in post-apocalyptic America, instead of the government as we know it, there's this big mafia family organization sort of running things. So we're going to hear a bit of that, and that is sort of still in a draft phase, but it's very fun, and you're going to get just a glimpse of the world he's setting up in this prologue. Looking forward to reading your book, Rick, when it comes out. I do want to mention, in addition to his background as a nurse in the United Kingdom, Ricky has also a nonfiction blog that he says is not super updated these days, but has information about his healthcare background and his chronic illness. That is endlesstrax.com. And I'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. He's also a patient advocate, and he helped co-found a nonprofit of which he's currently the vice chair. And that nonprofit is called Walk As One. As both letters capitalized, as in AS. And by the way, I do apologize if I am not pronouncing the name of the condition correctly. It's not something that I'm super familiar with. But If you are someone who knows someone or you yourself have experience with ankylosing spondylitis or ankylosing spondylitis or ankylosing spondylitis, I highly recommend both Rick's book and checking out his blog. You might find, if not some really valuable information, at least a valuable connection there. Always worth checking that out. Good. So without any further ado, just want to give another shout out to Rick from my little author circle. How's it going, Rick? Looking forward to your fiction, man. And I think you should write another non-fic because I see a lot of value in this title that I'm reading from today. It seems like the kind of thing that people should really be taking interest in, especially, and this is not to get political at all, but especially in today's climate in the United States, when so many things about healthcare are so, so tenuous, you should absolutely educate yourself to do whatever you can to make it as easy for yourself as possible. So, I want to mention again that these readings do not come from official audiobooks. They are both presented here with the author's permission. And as always, I'll be linking to the author's website and Amazon author page in the show notes at http://thebookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com. Hey, if you're enjoying the show, leave a comment, say hello, or even better, go on iTunes. Leave me a rating or a review, please. It's my desperate Thanksgiving plea. All right, everybody, happy November. I'll see you again next week for another indie author reading. Thanks. Taking charge. Making Your Healthcare Appointments Work for You by Ricky White. Chapter 1. Introduction. What is this book about? If there is one thing in life that's inevitable, it's illness. At some point, we all get sick. Whether it's temporary or long-term, it's going to happen one day. And when that day comes, we seek help from doctors and healthcare professionals who guide us down the road to better health. Well, that's the hope, at least. Not all are so fortunate. Not everyone can get better. Chronic illnesses are rife in our society, and the best that can be hoped for is not to get any worse, as there is often no cure. In the United States, around half of all adults, 117 million people, have one or more chronic health conditions, and one in four adults have two or more chronic health conditions. In 2012, there were over 928 million physician visits in the United States, with over half of those, 54%, to primary care doctors. That equates to 300.8 visits per 100 people. That's a lot of appointments. I am one of those statistics, too. In 2010, I was diagnosed with a chronic degenerative illness called ankylosing spondylitis, also referred to as AS. My life changed dramatically, overnight. Most of these changes I would learn to live with, and I'm still learning, to be completely honest. I probably always will be. But the part I thought would be the easiest turned out to be more challenging than I anticipated. Doctor's appointments. In the beginning, I didn't know the system. I didn't understand what it was like to be sitting on the patient's side of the desk. I thought I did, but I was blissfully unaware of just how complicated and time-consuming attending doctor's appointments can be. Especially when you have to see more than one doctor or specialist. The fact that you're reading this right now means you're probably in a similar situation. Are you exasperated with all your appointments? Do you come out of your appointments with unanswered questions, or with even more questions than before? Are you getting frustrated that your care isn't coordinated? Do you have trouble keeping track of all the changes in your care? Is there too much jargon and information? Or do you always find that you don't agree with your doctor and that you're not on the same page? If you answered yes to any of the above questions, you should definitely read on. You are the person who inspired me to write this book. How will this book help you? Okay, I'll be honest with you. What you will not find in this book is a magic formula or a quick fix to getting the kind of care you deserve. It just doesn't work like that. I'm sure you knew that anyway, right? What you will find in this book is a whole group of tools to add to your toolbox. I call them tools because the strategies and methods in these pages will work the same way as the tools in your toolbox. You'll need to pick the right tool for the right job, depending on your individual needs, because that's what you are, an individual. You are not a generic patient. You are unique, with your own problems to solve. It would be unfair and unjust of me to try to treat you otherwise. This will be a learning process. It will take practice to implement the methods in this book effectively, but that's okay. Nothing good ever came easy, right? And I know that, despite what you might think, your doctor will appreciate the effort you put in, too. He or she, let's use she for this chapter, will be glad you're taking your health seriously and will be even more willing and empathetic in helping you achieve the best outcome possible. But more on that later. As we go on, I will refer to resources which were created specifically for this book. These are free and can be downloaded at any time from my website. Please use them as you see fit. You won't necessarily need them all, or perhaps you won't need them today, but these tools are my gift to you, whether you need them now or years from now. Throughout this book, I'll be referring to your doctor a lot, but the same principles and methods I discuss can be used for all your healthcare appointments. So, regardless of whom you're seeing, a nurse, physiotherapist, occupational therapist, or other specialist, you can use the contents of this book to approach your appointment just the same. The aim of this book is to arm you with the tools you'll need for the job, and, as I said before, depending on the situation or professional you are seeing, you will need to pick the appropriate tools for your needs. Why is it important to have a good relationship with your doctors? Because you'll get better care. It really is that simple. But let me elaborate a little. Your relationship with your doctor is like any other. You'll get more out of it with fewer arguments and less stress, if you have a healthy one. All relationships are two-sided, of course, and they need both parties to put in the work. But the more willing you are to be open and honest with your doctor, the more likely she is to do the same. Doctors are people, too, and they only have so much time and energy, just like you. Next time you have a stressful day, I want you to think about what tasks you gave your time and energy to. Was there anything into which you only put in the minimal amount of effort to get the job done? It's quite likely that there were tasks you performed that day that you didn't do as well as you normally would. Doctors are no different, especially busy, overworked doctors. So, if you were the doctor, and you were running on empty, would you save your energy, often subconsciously, for the patient who doesn't seem to give a damn about you, and who doesn't seem to be taking his or her health seriously? Or would you save your energy so you can give the best care to the patient who is taking his or her health seriously, and who cares about you, too? I know I would, and probably did. What I'm not saying is that doctors purposefully give bad care to patients they don't like. Even the few bad apples in the medical profession still care. They are not going to withhold treatment options from you just because they choose to. But if you have a good working relationship with your doctor, you are more likely to get even better care, because the small things that can be overlooked are more likely to be dealt with. Take your health seriously, as you no doubt do. You are reading this book, after all. And your doctor will be more likely to go the extra mile for you. And that can make all the difference. It may not make any difference at all in your care, depending on your current relationship. But what's wrong with showing you care and being nice, just for the sake of doing so? Absolutely nothing at all. Why me? Prior to my expatriation to the United States, I lived in the United Kingdom, where I worked as a registered nurse. For the last 5 years of my career as a nurse, post-AS diagnosis, I worked in an outpatient clinic environment, where people came to see me for their appointments. This put me in the unique and advantageous position of sitting on both sides of the desk. Being able to see things from both the patient's and the healthcare professional's view gave me an understanding that most don't have. I was able to enter my own appointments with a different perspective, and, more importantly, with the knowledge of what my doctors wanted from me and how best to present it. Being an insider gave me an advantage when it came to getting the correct care. It shouldn't be that way. I'm not saying I was treated better because I was a nurse. That wasn't the case. But being able to make the best use of my 10-15 minute appointment without wasting time and without leaving with unanswered questions meant my care was far more streamlined. Now, not all appointments went swimmingly. But would you trust me if I said they did? Of course not. I wouldn't. Even with my insider knowledge, I've made mistakes, but I've learned from them. This book is just as much about learning from your mistakes as it is about learning how to approach and conduct your appointments. But we'll cover all that in the later chapters. For now, just be assured that I understand your frustrations, and I'm here to share my knowledge as a healthcare professional and as a patient. Fighting to Survive. The Casey Russo Chronicles, Book 1, by Rick Pine. Prologue. They called it the Last War. I don't know why. Everyone knows another one is coming. But when they hijacked the power grid and the oil fields, there was little fighting left to be done. With the military disabled by a lack of resources and the numerous computer viruses that hit, there was little that could be done but to retreat and consolidate their forces. No one had seen it coming. The Cosa Nostra, who are more commonly known as the Mafia, were thought to be dead. An old, forgotten organization snuffed out by the modern day. With technology growing at an unprecedented rate, it was impossible for them to keep up. Or so everyone had thought. No. Instead, they were planning a new age of rule. Secretly, quietly, and underground. Society had become too focused on the glow of the screens 6 inches from their faces that they'd not seen what the world was really becoming. That was 50 years ago, long before most were born, but everyone knows the story, or at least a version of it. There's still debate today over who launched the first of the bombs. We can at least be thankful that no nuclear weapons were used. Thankfully, the Cosa Nostra had no desire to destroy the place they wished to rule. They didn't have an issue with the American people, just those that governed them. The history book says there used to be 50 states. Now, the borders are blurred. Instead, there are 5 territories, each run by one of the 5 families of the Cosa Nostra. The legend says that the America we used to know still exists in the West. Somehow they managed to annex part of their own country and defend it successfully. But no one knows if it's true. Many hold hope that it is. With the power grid under Mafia control, it's hard to believe that they could have any decent quality of life. Without electricity, they wouldn't have running water or much in the way of assisted heat. Some prefer to stay here in the East, where you can have the luxury of running water and power, even if it came with a hefty price. The cities remain illuminated with signs, and the hustle and bustle remain, but it's different. Those that choose to have luxury do so at the expense of their freedom. Some say this was the case in the old world, too. You were just pledging your loyalty to a different set of tyrants and paid tax for the privilege. Some have even tried to reach the West in search of the America they once knew. No one knows if they made it, but plenty failed. If the patrolled border guards didn't shoot them on the spot, they had perished in the extreme heat of the Great Divide, the old Midwest. Those old enough to remember the old world remain angry that the rest of the world didn't help. The isolation left them bitter, but, the truth be told, it was their own doing. The Third World War in 2030 was the straw that broke the camel's back. The rest of the world saw America as the bully who took the Middle East's lunch money. Even their allies started to dislike their increasing arrogance. It seems karma, if you believe in that sort of thing, came back to bite them in the ass. There are still some that are loyal to the old world, but those that still survive are too old to do much about it now. The few that can fill the hierarchy of the Independence Alliance, the IA, a group of rebels fighting for once was. As the Cosa Nostra bosses become more self-indulged, the more followers the IA gains. Another war is inevitable. It's just a question of when. Until that day comes, though, one thing is for sure. No one will be allowed to forget the day the last war began. July 4th, 2046.
This concludes another episode of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. Thanks for joining me, your host, Benjamin Douglas, for another indie author reading. If you liked what you heard, be sure to visit http://thebookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com for more episodes and for links to the author's website and the author's Amazon author page in the show notes. If you'd like to follow me on my own author journey, you can find me at http://benjamindouglasbooks.wordpress.com. And of course, if you're an indie author interested in having your work featured on the show, or if you're interested in discussing having your book read and produced by me as an audiobook, feel free to contact me at BenjaminDouglasBooks@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a productive and enjoyable weekend.